Good morning, and if you have your Bibles, let's return to last week's text in Luke chapter 15, and we'll begin reading with verse 11 and read through verse 32. In this series entitled On the Road to Easter, this is the 10th message. Last week we talked about on the road to Easter, you're going to meet some prodigals, some people who have strayed and stayed away. This week, we're going to talk about the fact that on the road to Easter, you're going to have to deal with people who have been offended. It's a stout message from the Word of God. It's strong medicine for a hurting congregation, not only in Central Church, but in all of the Lord's churches. So I hope that you will receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. The implication is that a city with high walls, a garrison, a fortress, is difficult to penetrate. And a brother who's been offended, his heart is hard, and it's difficult to see him in tenderness return, repent, and rejoice in the good things of God. Let me read. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he's received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Let's pray together. Father, as we approach this passage today, it is so significant because when we live in the flesh, we are so guilty of offending others and of being offended. Help us today to learn the biblical secret of living not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. the cause of an offended spirit. I want to share quickly three things with you as we move through this text. This elder brother was offended because he thought too much of himself. In the second place, he was offended because he thought too little of others. And in the third place, he was offended because he did not understand his father's heart. Now, here's the story from start to finish. The young man comes to his father and says, "When you die, I'll get 1/3 of what's yours. It'll be mine. I want it now." Impatience, youth, immaturity, all of those things played a part as the prodigal left home, left the father, went to the far country, and wasted his inheritance in wicked living. When he suddenly realized that all was gone, he returned home. Upon coming home, he had made a decision. "I'll tell my father I've sinned against heaven and in his sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called a son. I just want to be made a servant. I'm no more worthy to receive the inheritance of a son. I'd just like to have the food that my father's servants have to eat." But the father would play no part in that play. He simply said, "You're not a servant, you are a son. Bring a robe and put it on him, ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Let's celebrate. My dead son's alive. My lost son has been found." Now, encased around that setting, we move to the offended spirit. He's in the field. He most likely is working, or at least as an elder son overseeing the work that is being done. He hears music. He hears noise. He asks one of the servants, "What's happening at the home front?" And he said, "Oh, your brother's come home, and your father is overjoyed, and the fatted calf has been killed, and there's a great celebration going on." Resentment and anger fills the heart of the elder brother, and he refuses to go home to celebrate with his father. But his father comes out to meet him, and he entreats him. That literally implies that he begs him, he pleads with him, he does his best to persuade him to come back and celebrate. But unlike any young man in that day, or this for that matter, this man begins to argue with his father. "I've never done anything wrong. You've never given me anything to celebrate with my friends about." And then the father says, "Son, you've always been with me. Everything I have is yours. I entreat you to come back and celebrate." Well, the story ends without knowing what happened to the offended brother. But let me once again tell you what I told you a moment ago. He thought too much of himself. That's the cause of being offended. Anytime we let arrogance and pride and stubbornness gain a foothold in our lives, we are making ourselves a target for Satan. We are lining ourselves up to be knocked over by the flesh. Anytime we allow ourselves to think more of ourselves than we ought to, we are in for warfare and we are going to be on the losing side. Let me give you a great illustration from the scriptures. In the year 66 A.D., the Apostle Paul was beheaded, history says. 10 years prior to that, Paul says to the church at Corinth, "I am the least of the apostles. Out of 12, I'm the least," he says. 7 years pass by, only 3 years now until Paul is beheaded. And he says to the Ephesian brethren, "I'm the least of the saints. Not one out of 12, and I'm the least of these, but one out of thousands, and I consider myself to be the least of these." Let 2 more years go by. In the year that Paul was beheaded, he said to Timothy, I am the chief of all the sinners. Do you see what happened to the Apostle Paul as he grew, as he became more spiritually mature? Do you see what happened to him as he began to grasp what it was like to be crucified with Christ, nevertheless live, but not me, Christ in me? Do you see what happened to him? I'm the least of the apostles. And then the next year he's decreased and decreased and decreased until 7 years later he says, I'm the least of the saints. And then right before his death he says, I'm the greatest of all sinners that's ever lived. Less of Paul, more of Jesus. When you begin to see yourself in a light that is not true to the Word of God, when you puff up, when you are proud, when you are arrogant, when you fail to grow in spiritual maturity, you are a target for Satan to offend you, either with his own tools or the tools of those who are around you. Number two, when you begin to see others less than you, you see yourself more than you ought to, you see others less than you. Do you understand what he calls his own brother? When this, your son, he's disclaimed this prodigal. He's rejected this prodigal. He's angry about the father loving this prodigal. Now, most of you know that this is a parable about the Jews and the Gentiles and God. God is the Father. The Jews have long been with God since the days of Abram. The Gentiles are brand new on the scene, hearing the gospel and being saved. And God is saying to the Jews, stop your pouting and start shouting because the body of Christ is increasing in size. But the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, they resented that. They hated that truth. They thought of themselves and only themselves as being worthy of the grace of God. So that's the general theology of the parable. But the specific is this. Anytime you try to make yourself look better by making somebody else look worse, you're setting yourself up as a target for the enemy. An offense is not far behind. And the third thing you need to see here is not only did he see himself in a light that he could not have possibly arrived at, and he saw others in a way that they could not possibly have lived, he could not grasp the Father's heart. Which do you think hurt the father the most? The prodigal who wasted his life in wicked living, or the elder brother who wasted an opportunity to rejoice and welcome his brother home? Neither were in the will of God. Neither were in the center of God's plan. Neither understood the heart of the Father. And that's who gets their feelings hurt. People who see themselves greater than they are. People who have not grown in spirit, have not grown in grace, and do not understand the heart of the Father. Look quickly at the consequences of having your spirit hurt, your spirit offended. The first thing that we see is that the elder brother is in the field and refuses to come in. So what's that? Separation. Do you know this? I've learned over 50 years, it's easier to leave a church because you've been offended than it is to follow the principle of Matthew 18 and deal with it biblically. Now, it's quiet in here. It probably ought to be. But I want you to think about that for a moment. It's easier to run than it is to obey. It is easier to walk away than it is to bow down. He separates himself immediately from the party, from the rejoicing, from the home welcome. He separates himself from the very people whom could help him the very most in this time of anger and bitterness. Number two, not only is there separation, but there's agitation. He was angry. He was angry. He grew angry at how the father welcomed home the prodigal. He never realized his brother could have been dead. He never recognized that his brother could have never been heard of again. He lost count of the fact that his brother had returned home, and it's how the father responded in mercy and tenderness and love that really set him on fire. And the Bible simply says he was angry, he was agitated. If you could hear some of the things that I hear in 50 years of pastoring churches, I have seen more people mad at God and claiming to be a Christian than you can possibly imagine. Why would God let that have happened? Maybe to test you. Maybe to find out if you were the least of sinners or the greatest of sinners. Maybe to find out if you thought of yourself as the least of the apostles or the greatest of the apostles. Why some things happen is not certain, but how God wants us to respond when they happen is most certain. And he was separated, and he was agitated, and then exaggeration. I can almost see this. Anybody that's ever raised a child will know exactly what I'm about to say. I have never disobeyed you. Followed by, and you have never given me anything to celebrate with my friends. Somehow the devil makes the story bigger than it is. Somehow the devil takes the smallest of insignificant incidentals and blows them totally and completely out of proportion. Some people can get angry at almost anything and stay angry for the longest of times, and it's exaggeration. I never disobeyed, and you never gave. Do you know what both of those statements are? Lies. He couldn't have been perfect. And the Father always gives us what we need. I want to move quickly to how you resolve all of this. There's one certain thing, and that is until you recognize the heart of the Father, none of this is ever going to be resolved. You see, we back out of what we've pulled into. If you really want to resolve an offended spirit, the first thing that you do is begin to see yourself not as perfect, but as imperfect and in need of the grace of God. We have to back out of this just like we pulled into it. I'm not perfect. I've never been perfect. I'm not going to be perfect till I'm in the presence of God. What I need is a good old-fashioned dose of God's grace in my life, and I have been forgiven. Therefore, I need the spirit of forgiveness. In fact, the prayer teaches us that if we don't forgive others, it's a sure sign we've not been forgiven by the Father. Matthew chapter 6. So we back out of it. The first thing we do is we see ourselves in the light of what God sees when he looks at us. The second thing we do is we see others in a higher regard. The Bible tells us each of us ought to esteem our brother better than us. Can you possibly imagine what would happen in this church, this city, any city, this nation, or any nation when we began to build up the brother and we began to humble ourselves in the sight of God? Offense goes away, and what comes is charity and love and forgiveness and mercy and grace and tenderness to take its place. And then the third thing that is most important, can you imagine this morning how easy it'd be to lay your offended spirit beside you and down and never come back to it if you could just grasp the heart of the Father? The Father that loves you with all of his heart, the Father that wants the best for you. I want you to listen to the conversation here. He said, I have never disobeyed and you have never given me. Now listen, son, do you not remember the rest of it? Oh, I do. I just want to pause right there. Son, do you get that? The very first thing the father says to the offended brother is, son, if you would just recognize you're a child of God and you can't behave like the world does. You can't treat people like the world does. You can't talk like the world does. You can't act like the world does. You can't get angry like the world does. You can't dishonor the cause of Christ like the world does. You can't walk away and not pay attention to the principles of God's word like the world does. Son, he says, get a grip on this thing. You're my son, and you need to be acting like my son. And here's the second thing he said. All that I have is yours. You're talking about me never giving you anything. I have given you everything. All that I have is yours. And then you know what else he says? It's only right that when one who's also blood related comes home, that you rejoice. You're a son, but guess who he is? He's a son. And because you're a son, you ought to respond right. And because he's a son, he ought to be forgiven and restored to the family. And because both of you are sons, you're brothers. He's not just my son, and you're not just my son. You two are brothers of one father. And you ought to treat one another accordingly. Listen, if you don't acknowledge sin, you're not going to value grace. And if you don't value grace, you're not going to seek forgiveness and restoration that only grace can provide. And here's what I'd say in closing. Only those who are alive to the flesh are going to be hurt in this world. I know that it's a simple, but I hope helpful illustration. We'll roll the casket in and we'll let the corpse lay right there. Normally at the conclusion of the service, the crowd comes around and walks by the casket. I have heard things like this said before. That illness really took its toll. He doesn't, she doesn't look good. Negative comments about the corpse. I'm not trying to be humorous. I'm trying to show you something. In 50 years, in hundreds of funerals, not one time has the corpse ever set up and said, your negative comment about me hurt my feelings. Well, of course not, Pastor. The corpse is dead. Oh, well, listen. When you are crucified with Christ, and when I'm crucified with Christ, and we are dead to the things of this world, and only alive to the things of God, what others think about us or say to us will be insignificant. It's all about the Father welcoming us home. Who gets their feelings hurt? Who gets offended? Who runs off and pouts and stays in the field and won't come home and rejoice? The spiritually immature, and sometimes those who have thought themselves to be spiritual, who are not spiritual at all. Because only those alive to the flesh can be offended. Crucified and dead flesh feels no pain. We understand we're the least of the apostles, the least of the saints, and the greatest of the sinners. And if God would visit us in grace and forgiveness for what we have done, how dare we not visit others in grace and forgiveness for their offense to us? Now let me revisit one thought. There are two sides to this story. There's the side of the elder who refuses to come home. But won't you hear the heart of the Father this morning? He entreats, he pleads, he begs, he asked the elder to come and join together with the family because they're blood related. Only a hard-hearted older brother who knows nothing and cares nothing about the heart of the father can refuse to come home when the father pleads, entreats, and begs you to do so. A hard message to preach. I'm not sitting out there, but I would suppose a hard message to hear. But a message from the Word of God. If you're here this morning and there's anger and resentment and bitterness in your life because of something or someone, it is destroying you. You can stand in the field and pout all you want, but nothing is going to change until you come home. Two boys were away from the father. One was physically nearby, but so far away in spirit. The other came home, and spirit to spirit understood what it was like to see the father's heart of mercy and tenderness and compassion. Listen, lay down your anger. Get rid of your bitterness. Drop to your knees and confess to God that you don't belong separated and isolated, frustrated and agitated, exaggerating what has happened to you. Drop to your knees and say, oh God, I want to be there where the music plays. I want to be there where the dancing's done. I want to be there with my brother, celebrating the lost being found and the dead being raised back to life. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, obviously that is a goal this morning that we have, to tell you that Jesus saves and that the pastors will be here in the altar to help you. If you want to become a part of our church family, we'd love to see that take place this morning as God would lead you. But I tell you the truth. If several somebodies could humble yourself, fall on your face before God, deal with and get rid of the anger and the bitterness, it would make all of the difference in this world, in your life, that you could possibly imagine. Come on home, elder brother. The prodigal and the father are waiting on you. Let's stand. As the pastors come, and as God speaks to your heart, you respond.
Just as I